Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of the Carnegie Mellon University Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center sponsored by the U.S. Department of Defense and operated by Carnegie Mellon University. A transcript of today's podcast is posted on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcast. My name is Suzanne Miller. I'm a principal researcher here at the SEI. And today I'm very pleased to introduce you to myself and Will Hayes. In today's podcast, we're going to be discussing Agile Metrics. This is part of our ongoing work to help the Department of Defense and other organizations in their efforts to adopt and use Agile software development methods. So this is a chance where I get to be both the interviewer and one of the interviewees because I participated in this research. So I'm very excited about this. But first, a little bit about myself and Will Hayes. Will provides direct lifecycle management support to major software-intensive programs in government and military organizations. He also researches and consults in the application of agile methods in highly regulated settings, as well as the innovative application of measurement and analysis methods in any setting. My research focuses on synthesizing effective technology transition and management practices from research and industry into effective techniques for use of agile and lean methods in regulated settings. So you can see why we like working together. Welcome, Will.
Thank you.
So why don't you give some background on our research, especially the DoD, Department of Defense adoption of agile methods and how you got involved in this.
So with the, many of the contracts that we hold, the work that we do in supporting program offices in government and military organizations, they're finding that the providers are adopting agile methods and finding new ways to deliver product on a more rapid basis in smaller increments than is traditionally seen in those kinds of environments. And it's a bit challenging for program offices to find the best way to take advantage of those techniques. And so we are finding ourselves working with many such program offices, as well as providers, to find the ways that they have found to be successful with these new approaches in what some might view as a more traditional, old-style way of managing contracts.
And you have never been one that sort of holds with old school ways of managing things. I know that Will has been involved in SEI metrics research for, I'm going to make him sound old here because it's been decades now, Will.
Yes, it has.
And so you bring a particular focus on measurement into this space, which is one of the reasons that we're very excited that you were able to be the lead author on this paper. So let's talk about that piece. Our tech note is called Agile Metrics, Progress Monitoring of Agile Contractors, and talk a little bit about why we focused on the progress measurement aspect of this and the contractor aspect of this, because this is a little bit more specific than some of our other technical notes.
So when it comes to the due diligence-based monitoring that's traditionally seen in government and military contracts, measurement plays a fairly important role. And so there's an elaborate infrastructure and a fairly well-understood set of definitions for measures that are traditionally used in that space. In contrast to that, when we look at most of what's written and trained and discussed about the term Agile, the focus tends to be on a team of 7 plus or minus 2 individuals working together in a self-directed team with a high focus on trust and an empirical approach, but mostly within the team. And this is not to say agile methods don't work or aren't being used with larger groups. It's just what is discussed and what is published tends to focus fairly narrowly as if the attention to those other concerns isn't of issue. And we're finding in application, there are people really doing a good job filling in those abstractions between the small team-focused measurement and what you would need at an enterprise or at least at a program level. So one of the challenges we have is to find a good way to answer the needs of the large-scale program management focus without violating the kind of space that's created for a self-directed team to use agile methods and be successful.
So one of the things that in any measurement program, it's not just agile measurement, but any especially agile programs, measurement needs to be used to serve the team, not to punish individuals. And so that is obviously one of the things that gets written about a lot. So one of the challenges in trying to get progress metrics is how do you do that at the management level without violating that premise of you know, not punishing, using the metrics to punish the individuals. So why don't you talk about some of the things we've found in terms of how people are dealing with that?
So one of the challenges we have in almost any methodology you might choose to use in a medium to large size program is measurement is often done for other people. It's an obligation I take on to collect some data that someone else is going to use. And so often people have a fairly defensive posture when they're thinking about providing metrics. And in fact, many people who would train you in Agile, people who would help you to become a Scrum Master, think of the word metric as perhaps akin to one of those words that George Carlin told you you can't say on television. But in fact, Agile methods are touted and indeed serve as an empirical approach to software.
So explain to those that aren't familiar with that, what is different about an empirical approach to software as in terms of other approaches?
So the idea is to really enact that plan, do, check, act cycle that Edwards Deming spoke of so long ago, but at a much more near-term, much more immediate, much more individually focused level. So there is a much more frequent conversation among the people who are working together to develop product, and they are speaking in much more direct terms about the product itself, not the intermediate work products that eventually lead to working software. And so the idea that we see expressed in the Agile Manifesto and the principles that that accompany it is that the demonstration of the capability is the most direct way to view the progress that you're making. And so when they say empirical approach, they're referencing often that we're looking at actual working product, not an abstraction represented only in paper, though obviously the abstractions serve an important purpose in arriving at that product. But the idea is to get to demonstrable results and to speak about data collected by the team for the team's use. Things like velocity, which is an expression of how many story points have been delivered successfully at the conclusion of a given iteration or sprint.
And story points are a common way of doing relative estimation in Agile methods that some of our listeners will be familiar with. But if you're not, we have lots of references on the website you can look at for story points. But the thing about progress measures that are empirical, that are observation-based, but that don't violate that team spirit, that to me was the real crux of what we were trying to get at with this technical note, is how do we help program managers and program office personnel appropriately measure progress and still allow the team to work in their own environment and use metrics for them that are really only for them and differentiate from the metrics that are used for measuring at the program level. So talk about some of the program level measurements that we thought might be useful in this setting.
So one of the most commonly referenced measures, and I've already mentioned it and I probably will be speaking of it multiple times before we're done, but is this notion of velocity counted in story points. And the thing about story point estimation and the relative estimation is that it is not a universally calibrated metric like we might consider lines of code or function points to be. That it is designed specifically for the team to be able to look at the work they are doing with the set of expertise they have on hand and get a sense of what it is they can commit to. And by monitoring a team's ability to consistently meet its commitments, when we look at velocity as a metric at a higher level than the team, what we're really wanting to see is not necessarily how many story points they push out each iteration, but how consistently they are able to meet their target. And to some extent, the degree of fluctuation in how many story points are delivered or the extent to which they meet or exceed their story point estimate is the more interesting thing to look at than just the number of story points themselves.
So velocity is one of those measures that can be used both by the team for their internal purposes, and it can be used externally, as you say, to understand the consistency, as long as you don't try and compare the velocity of one team to another. That's one of the pitfalls of measuring velocity, is that it's a measure that is unique to an individual team, and it's not something that's comparable across teams, which is one of the things that drives program managers a little bit crazy, because they're accustomed to measures, more absolute measures that you mentioned, like function point and source lines of code, that are traditionally more comparable, at least in theory, across multiple teams.
But having said that, it's, I suppose, a certain matter of orthodoxy on whether or not you strictly abide to this team-unique calibration versus some of the efforts that we've seen for people to try to calibrate across teams at a release level when we have different teams working together. Often the notion of ideal days are used as a calibration method, and that is basically to ask people who are doing estimating to try to size the work at hand, described in a user story, based on how many ideal days of work it would take to accomplish that. Now, ideal days are uninterrupted, 8-hour periods, 9-hour periods, whatever the customary day length is, depending on where you are in the world, and to understand what it would take to understand, implement, and test the function as described in the user story. With ideal days as a bridge, we're seeing some people proposing ways to calibrate more broadly. On the other end of the extreme, though, is this notion that velocity is yesterday's weather. And that's a term that I've heard used most specifically with Scrum. And it does a nice job, I think, of explaining the local nature of velocity for a team. It's affected by seasons, and it's affected by geography, if you think of it that way. So different teams will have different velocities. Perhaps the same team at different periods of time, or with new work, or as they finish a large bit of work, they've kind of hit their stride. And so yesterday's weather will be different than last week's weather. But yesterday's weather is a good way to anticipate what today's weather will be, though you won't necessarily use just yesterday's weather to plan a whole season ahead.
Especially if you're a farmer, but... Okay, take that one back.
We're in Pittsburgh.
All right.
We have farmers.
So if I don't speak about this particular measure, the people in program management will go, well, these people clearly don't know what they're talking about. And Will's nodding his head because he knows what I'm going to ask him about next, which is earned value measures is a particular approach to measuring progress that is mandated on programs, government programs above a certain size. And the idea is that you declare ways of indicating progress towards your goal, and the goal being a product. And in the more traditional settings, you're looking at some of those abstractions that you talked about, the intermediate work products. You're measuring your progress against those with the idea that that's going to give you some sense of how close you are to the end product. How does earned value measurement play out, and what's its utility in an Agile program?
So this is a particularly challenging area for people that are working on very large defense contracts, because there is a mandate. One of the things about earned value management is that it relies on a work breakdown structure that for most organizations tends to be deliverable item and individual task focused. And in an Agile setup, you're focused more on the functionality as expressed in a user story, and you don't focus so much on the size of the intermediate work products that express that capability, and with an eye toward getting to that working code as quickly as you can, in contrast to having a very well-specified software requirements spec, an elaborate design that gives you full view of the architecture and the various implications. The idea is to slice a narrow piece of those constructs, if you will, and to implement working code so that we can demonstrate to the user the function that we're speaking of in the user story. There is some very nice work done by individuals that are researching this from perhaps more academic perspective under the title Agile EVM. There are also corporations that have started to define their own implementation of earned value management, where story points end up being the fundamental atomic unit of measure that serves the computations. One of the biggest challenges that Agile proponents and consultants will express is the idea of committing to a work breakdown structure in contrast to committing to delivering functionality that is approved by the user at each step along the way. Those are seen by many Agilists to be in conflict.
So one of the things that was came out of this work, from my viewpoint, is a resurgence of interest and confidence in the rolling wave planning methodologies that I learned about in the early 1980s, because they actually provide a way of connecting the earned value kinds of constructs with the product backlog idea that is consistent with Agile methods. And so that was one of the sort of promising things to me, was that if you can construct your work breakdown structure in a way that acknowledges the kind of work package sequence that is common in rolling wave planning, then you can get a little bit of a bridge. And we saw some examples of that in our research. So that I thought was very promising, as well as some of the more theoretical research around Agile earned value management.
And that's one of the places where people that are proposing well-defined methodologies for scaling from the team level to the larger level really give a lot of assistance in talking about architecture, talking about the whole picture, and not just what a team of seven plus or minus two people can do. And so there are notions of intentional architecture, notions of having some degree of resolution and visibility further down the road than just the next sprint or two. And that's a place where I think we're going to continue to see a lot of development and a lot more publication and help coming to organizations that really want to make Agile work for them, because I think we've heard people talk about it really does speed up realization of operational capability. It allows users to give feedback, and therefore the notion of enhanced quality moves beyond just lack of defects and a lot more toward the functional capabilities that serve the missions mm-hmm. that the software has
Absolutely.
To support.
And being able to measure, those have always been challenging aspects to measure, usability, reliability, availability. Mm-hmm. So having the kind of fast feedback loop that we get in Agile means that you can actually tune those measurements. One of the things that Will's excited about in terms of Agile methods is the fast feedback loop. So in many projects, you didn't have, in a traditional setting, you didn't have very many instances of the design, implement, test cycle.
Yeah.
With Agile, you have many more of those cycles, which for a measurement specialist means more data points. And we know how that makes you light up.
In fact, there are things that we've encountered in speaking with teams that are using these methods that I've never seen described in writing and publications. And that's things like the use of static code analyzers, understanding through using modeling techniques the likelihood of meeting particular targets. Those are not things that are considered part of the Agile orthodoxy, and some may view them to be in conflict. But what we're seeing when we interact with teams that are successfully using these techniques is that the insight they get from analyzing the code with specialized tools helps them adjust what they do, and those adjustments can occur more frequently.
That's back to the inspect and adapt mentality yeah. that is common in the Agile framework.
And that the insight they get, too, from things like Monte Carlo simulation gives them a more confident basis for some of the commitments they're making with teams. And these are not people who are doing these things because they're somehow required to or rewarded to do so by some external certifying body. These are people who are using tools to help them get that empirical feedback, to get the success thereafter with delivered product, not conformance to a particular set of steps for getting there. It's really exciting to see those techniques in play.
So that sort of leads us into the future. So what are some of the areas that you see us pursuing in the future related to Agile metrics in both progress metrics and other kinds of metrics.
So one of the great privileges we've had here at the SEI is to have access to a very substantial amount of actual operational data from one of the vendors of an application lifecycle management tool. And we had hundreds of thousands of rows of data to look at. And in trying to analyze the data, one of the things that I learned from the experience was in a traditional use of measurement, in old-style programs, if you would, we're waiting for the data to accumulate at the bottom of the waterfall so we can aggregate it, analyze it, and give comments from a retrospective perspective. What we're seeing with Agile teams is they don't want to wait. That we need to analyze that stream of data before it has a chance to pool at the bottom of the waterfall. I'm using the metaphor somewhat liberally here. But the techniques that you need to do, how do you snap a baseline? How do you have a reference point when you're looking at things in constant motion? That's a very nice challenge to have from my perspective. And the graphical representations that are required in order to really make sense of that are perhaps not the traditional ones we've seen. The kinds of analysis techniques you need to apply, the baselines you need to have available to you, those take on a slightly different form in that context. And so I think we're going to find that the industry is going to move toward more near-term, more immediate feedback, and the intelligent use of historical baselines. I think the quality of the criteria that will be applied will have to improve because we can't wait for the law of large numbers to kick in for us to say we're reverting to the mean or not, or those sorts of reference points are not as germane when we're looking at near-term, shorter cycle.
With smaller data
small
sets,
batches,
but
yeah.
They are meaningful data that yeah. is meaningful to the near-term, not meaningful to 2 years from now.
So it's like on your automobile, you've gotten a gauge that tells you what kinds of efficiency you're getting now. How many miles per gallon am I getting now? I don't wait until I get to the rest stop and fill up to guess or calculate what the efficiency of the engine is. Not that I would ever be able to use that data in the context of driving my automobile, but the ability to have measures that help you gauge what you're doing now as opposed to what we did last month or last quarter, I think that leads to a lot more efficiencies and the opportunity to have much more innovative focus on the product, the design, the architecture, because we are able to fine-tune and get a steady cadence for the development work we're doing. I think that's a very exciting future for us.
I agree. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to working with you on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Those of you listening, if you're interested in accessing our research on Agile adoption in the DoD via our papers, blog posts, and podcast, please visit sei.cmu.edu/acquisition/research. Also, please remember that you can access a series of podcasts that I conducted with Marianne Lapham exploring all 12 Agile principles and their application across the Department of Defense at www.sei.cmu.edu/podcast/agile-in-the-DoD. That was a mouthful. The SEI technical notes describing our research, as well as recent publications in all areas of the SEI's work, can be downloaded at resources.sei.cmu.edu. And finally, this podcast is available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcast and on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at info@sei.cmu.edu. Thank you for listening.